Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We got a great message for you. Part two of the Serpent Seed series. Get your Bible. We're going to Genesis. We're going to get into some deep and mystifying scriptures, things that are coded, we believe, purposely so to keep, well, you know, the Bible said if the gospel's hid, why would he hide the gospel? Why would he take a Bible that is called Holy Bible and keep it in such a mystery, written veil, if you will, deep beyond carnal comprehension, in other words? Why would he do that? Why would he go to this trouble? Well, because he don't want the evil ones climbing up. Because, you know, the Bible says they will seek to climb up. But they'll do it some other way. There is man's way, there is beast's way, and there is Adam's way, and then there is Israel's way. Now, Israel is the only one out of the ones that I just named that has a covenant that are qualified, well, let me put it this way, acceptable in the presence of the Father. Now, if you're going to get an audience with a king, especially the king of the universe, this great king. Think about Yahweh. He's not no peon. He's not nobody to come down here and kick around. If there's any kicking, he's going to be doing it because the Bible says he's coming back in flame and fire. Well, we're going to go into the different aspects of genetic manipulation of those in the beginning that created. Now, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, they don't exactly say that. If you go back and look at its true purposeful meaning, that is Strong's number 430. God is a misnomer in the King James Bible. The Bible says itself that there's many gods. Well, is he talking about different mighty ones? Yes. The Bible says that when the heavens and the earth were created, somebody shouted for joy, and it says it was the sons of Yah. These are those that were with him in the beginning, and they are called in a Bible in the Hebrew proper, Elohim. Now this is meaning more than one, plurality, if you will. And so the angels, who are a little, just a little now, I want to emphasize the strange closeness of angelic beings and Adam beings. Very thin line between the two. Now, that may surprise you. The reason we've never seen angels, they're commanded to stay out of the affairs of man. They have been restricted since Genesis 6 by direct command of the high Elohim authority, Yahweh himself issuing the work order for the angels to stay out of man's affairs except when ordained or commissioned or authorized by the Mighty One, the Eternal Father. Now, I'm going to show you the different types we call them human, or humans, or humankind. I'm going to show you that there's difference in those species of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, and Genesis chapter 3. And then we're going to really get into the genetics. Now, let me show you something, first of all, about genetics. Now, you know that for years and years and years, as a traditional thing, we have all been taught Sunday school teaching now, top surface level carnal understanding is what I believe, that Adam was the father of all races upon the earth, because we literally believe when we start in Genesis chapter 1 and 2 to read the Bible that Adam was the first one, first man, if you will, and that he fathered everything here upon this earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right out the gate, right out the starting gate of our message tonight in part 2 of the Serpent Seed series, we're going to make this declaration. That is false. That is a misunderstanding of Scripture. Adam, number one, could not be the father of all the species we have here in humankind. And beast kind. Well, what does beast kind? Well, we're going to get into that. I'm going to show you that the word beast is not what you might think it is. And so that might have to readjust your thinking after tonight's message about what's going on here for hundreds and perhaps actually millions of years down through history, back into history. We're going back. So, Adam cannot be the father of all of the mankind here upon this earth. Now, let's look at this. To find out who is, we got to bring in the participants of Genesis chapter 3 when we find out just exactly what went on. Now, remember, we covered Genesis 3, 15, 14, and 15 in part 1. Now, part 2, I'm going to back up and go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 25. And it says, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind. Now remember, this is before Adam. Let me read that again. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind. How long did that beast exist before Adam, the eighth day man? I'm talking about the eighth day. You see, Adam is not a fifth day creation. The Adam that we have here earthly is not a sixth day creation being. But the Adam that is of the earth in the third dimensional realm is an eighth day creation. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're out of your mind. No, I'm in my spirit mind. Maybe, perhaps, just maybe you've been in the carnal mind and you have, right out the gate, believed the lies that is told from the pulpits of churchianity. We call them bell boxes. And the reason we call them bell boxes is because B-A-A-A-L is a code substitute for L-O-R-D, or L-O-R-D is a code substitute for B-A-A-L. And most of the people address our Creator in the Bible, not knowing it, when they use Lord, they're calling him Baal. Now, that's all a different message. We'll get back on that sometime in the future, but right now we want to stay focused on a genetic, if you will, combination of the chromosomes that it takes to produce a human being. Now, let me give you, now we've got different blood types. Later on, I'll get into the blood types. Rh negative, positive, and the different rare blood as opposed to the common blood. There is a rare blood, and then there's a common blood thread in man. So it takes not 23, in other words, you can't create a human being out of 23 chromosomes. And we have what the science calls in the genetic code. And this is very deep and very mystifying. And I've studied genetics for the last 25 years because the Father spoke to me in a vision 25 years ago and told me that in the last days, genetics would play a major part in revelation of what went on in the Garden of Eden. And at that time, I had no earthly idea what he was talking about. But over the 25 years of the Father communicating and communion with my spirit, I have been made to understand some of the mysteries that mystify most of mankind, especially religion. It takes 46 chromosomes to create a human being. Now, by that, sperm of a male and the egg of a female must come together, and then these eggs are created by a special kind of cell division called meiosis. Meiosis separates partner chromosomes. Now, this is where the egg begins to pick out. This is another mystifying element of how a human being forms in the womb of a woman. Now, you know, one of the mysteries it talks about in the Bible, one of the great mysteries of science, and science still doesn't know, how bone grows in the womb. It's amazing how formation of a human. Well, didn't Satan tell Eve the day that you eat? Or did he say eat? Was the choice of words there descriptive to deceive rather than reveal? You know, the Bible says it's a great pleasure for Yahweh to conceal a matter. Did Yahweh purposely let the translators use the concealment word of eat rather than the revealing word of lay? Because if you take the word eat and look at its strong affiliate in the descriptive references of definition, you'll see that the last, remember now, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. The last descriptive in the Strong's of the word eat, ekal, in the Hebrew, is lay, L-A-Y. E-A-T as opposed to L-A-Y. Now, if the Bible said, and she lay with Satan, rather than eat with Satan, because they did eat or lay, take your choice here. And you say, oh, there was some kind of a fruit buddy hanging on a tree. But don't you know that trees are descriptive of angelic beings? That Satan himself, as I said in, we're going to go there, in our part 3 or 4 series, so I'm just jumping a little bit just to set the nature of my message tonight, to tell you that we're talking about trees in a garden as angelic beings that walked among the stones of fire. In this third dimension realm of nature, they have no privilege to walk. Now, they did in Genesis 6. Angelic beings, according to the book of Enoch, walked up until Genesis 6 when the high command of the mighty ones, the Elohim, convened a conference to come down and investigate the affairs of man and angels as they were mixing in Genesis chapter 6. And the decision was made to restrict or forbid, if you will, the angelic angels from mating with humankind, be it beast, man, or Adam. And there is the difference, because we've got different races here. Remember, Genesis 1:25, and the Lord God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. This is 1:25. After his kind, a beast. Now, is a beast the same thing as a cow or a donkey or an elephant? Well, we've been made to believe that, sort of, but the Bible don't say that. Matter of fact, it distinguishes between the beast and cattle and creeping things. There is a difference. Now, remember, the Bible even declares over here in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. In other words, he had an advantage. He was smarter. Now, who was this serpent? Again, it is Strong's number 5175, and look it up. It's a enchanter. The wise one, the shining one. This is the one that deceived Eve. He didn't deceive Adam. The Bible said Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Adam had to make a choice to either remain in the fifth dimension, where he had his choice, or to leave the fifth dimension and go with Eve into the physical realm, or what we call the third dimension, and there be subject to the punishment and the rigors of testing his character. Remember, the Bible said, either make the tree good. Satan was an evil tree. You say, well, how do you know? The Bible says so. The Bible said he was perfect until. He wasn't perfect. In his character, there was a flaw. You see, everything that shines is not gold. Satan looked good, talked a good talk, evidently, and had all the characteristics of being good because he was the epitome of good and evil. But that word evil enters the picture. He was not all good, but neither was he all evil. And that's how deceptive Satan is, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Satan can transform, and he changed his nature to a point to become an angel of light. Well, that's what you say. Well, if I'd have been back there, if I'd have been Eve, I wouldn't have succumbed to all of his charms. Well, I don't know. You know, the Bible said, "Boast not, lest ye be tried. Some handsome Dan might come along and sweep you off your feet and break up your family, just like he did the family of Yahweh." You see, Adam was a son of Yahweh. He was a good tree. And the Bible says a good tree cannot, impossible, for a good tree to bring forth evil, corrupt fruit. And you tell me that Adam produced Cain in the earth? Hogwash. Poppycock. That ain't so, because the Bible, Yahweh himself, would become a liar if a good tree could produce a bad fruit. You say, well, I know a lot of good people that's turned out bad. Well, I just got through telling you that the carnal mind is subject to the whims and the temptations and the rigors of the endurement of life. And that's why Adam now is subject to be tested. But let's go back and look at the tree in the garden that she did not eat of, which she could. That was the tree of life. There was no command. Listen to me now. Very careful. There was no command for her not to eat or lay. We'll leave that choice up to you, because the words are there for you. Strong's number 398. Take a look at it. Now, if I was a translator, you know what I'd put in there. But actually, Eve is no different, because she had a sexual appetite arousal. You see, that's what petting will do. It arouses the sexual nature in mankind. And that's why that most people require arousal before they are sexually tempted or able to perform sexually. You see, you got to get ready. And Satan, being the crafty one that he was, knew that the earth would become a chess field, and he's a master strategist, and he's a master chess player, and he decided to take on Yahweh in a game of genetic chess. Now, I said it took, let me show you something. It takes 3 billion, our combination of genetics, requires 3 billion DNA letters that make up our genetics. Now, humans do share a lot in common in DNA terms with other species. Now, listen to this now. 51% of our sequence is shared with the yeast. Now, let me go back here and show you again. Now, you know that there is a yeast connection to sex. or sperm or eggs. There has to be a heavy yeast combination. 51% of our sequence is shared with yeast. 57% is shared with cabbage. Well, we got a lot of cabbage heads in the Bible. And I know a few of them. And you know them by their fruits, or you know them by their words. By their words, they're justified. And by their words, they're condemned. So we got a lot of cabbage heads. 57% cabbage head, but you lack one thing yet. That spiritual understanding to complete a complete DNA. Listen to this now. This even gets more interesting. A whopping 98% of genetics is shared with a chimpanzee. You ever know anybody that acts like a monkey, talks like a monkey, and even looks like one? Well, right here you go. 98% of the genetics of a chimpanzee will fit in the human genome. Our nearest relative, then, according to genetics, would be truly the gorilla. That's interesting. We won't go there for the time then, but we will include a thought on that later on. Now listen to this. Given the similarities of genetics, it's clear that the difference between human beings are very minor indeed. But remember what the Bible said about leaven? Levels what? The whole lump? If there's 1% of evil genetics in you from the blood of the snake, you say, oh, there you go again. Well, snake don't have no blood on the earth. Satan does not have a real seed. The genetics of Satan do not exist, Pastor Buddy. They're non-existent. Then what's all this war about? You say, well, that's, again, that's just a war between our carnal nature and our spiritual nature. And we get these psychologists and these doctors of divinity, and they go into these big, swelling words of having men's admiration, you know, where they can speak very big, long, connected words that you don't certainly understand, and they probably don't really know the mechanics, because they don't even know what makes a bumblebee fly, how they are capable of flying. They don't know the characteristical mechanics of a bumblebee or a firefly. They don't even know what makes him line up. So they don't know as much as you really think that they make you think they know. So don't get caught up in all of these things. Now listen to this. To interact or to produce our distinctive and unrepeatable combination of physical, I said unrepeatable. It's just like fingerprints. There's no two sets that they ever been known to be alike. Isn't that amazing? Everybody in fingerprints are genetically different, and there is no repeatable combination of physical and behavioral characteristics, whether people are born male or female, then depends on the sex chromosomes, the X and the Y that I told you about a while ago. Females get an X from each parent. Males get an X from each one and a Y from the other. Now, let me repeat that again so you'll know here. We're going to pay X's and O's here, or X's and Y's in this case. Both of them, whether male or female, depends on the sex chromosomes, X and Y. Females get an X. No Y. Males get an X and a Y from the other, and a double X produces the basic female body design. XY orders up the standard male. So the Y chromosomes carries an influential gene called SRY, or sex-determining region, which is the Y. And then these codes, genetic codes, are formed from a protein that triggers male bodybuilding to make it uniquely more muscular, more physical, in other words, more dominating. You see, the male is over the female. The female is under Adam, according to the divine, or man, according to the divine laws. And that's pretty much how it goes. It doesn't mean that a male in his mind is superior because average a 90-pound woman can lead a 300-pound man that stands 6'8", can lead him around like a, you can lead a 13 or 1400-pound bull with a ring in his nose. And that's, most of these men are henpecked and they're womanpecked in this case. So the activation of the SRY gene about 6 weeks after conception triggers the formation of the testes, testosterone, which is very highly volatile in creating the rippling muscles of a male. And then they start making their hormone, testosterone, which floods through the body, making it a male. Without this SRY gene, a fetus would develop the default body plan, which is a female. Now, enough of that, but I want to get into the different species, because we're going to get into the characteristics of this Genesis 125. Now, let me show you that there's a difference between a camel and the beast of the field. Now, you've always believed, probably from the layman, the church tradition, that the beast of the field is something that, in other words, a donkey or a cow, like I said, a horse, that's a beast. But that ain't true. That ain't what the Bible says. Remember, the Bible said that there are some men, not cattle, not horses. There's no evil in a cow. There's no evil in a red bird. A red bird won't mix with a bluebird. A bluebird won't mix with a robin. A robin won't mix with a jaybird. A jaybird won't mix with a sparrow. A sparrow won't mix with a crow. A crow won't mix with an eagle. An eagle will not mix with any of the above. And so when they observe nature, keeping to themselves, man is the only thing upon the planet that it can intermingle or will intermingle his seed with diverse sorts of races. It is the lowest form. It is the greatest sin of adulteration of blood to change the original species from what it was originally designed by blood genetics, to alter that by mixing the two genes or the genetics and creating a subspecies or in a hybrid species, which we have got many today running forth upon the earth, which is entirely against the divine covenant plan, spoken against very strongly and forbidden by Yahweh. Now, can a cow, well, let's reverse this. Can a bull, a male species of cattle, a bull, can a bull and a bull sperm, can it impregnate a human? The answer is no. Isn't it wonderful that that can't happen? And ladies and gentlemen, I warn you, if it could happen, it would. That humankind, there's nothing lower upon the earth. These are regular, these are beasts. Remember, the Bible said some are made natural, brute, beast, made to be taken and destroyed in the fire. And every time we hear the beast of the field mentioned, our mind goes into the carnal realm of an elephant or a donkey or something else going across the desert. And it's not so. We are, I don't know whether you know this or are you aware of it, but you meet beasts of the field every day of your life if you intermingle with civilization in the present form especially. You're going to mingle or meet or speak or pass beasts of the field every day that you walk. Chances are, unless you are a hermit, you live in a cave somewhere, and you're back in the hills so far that they have to pump sunshine into you, you're going to pass a beast of the field that puts on a three-piece suit and dresses mighty nice and looks pretty good, enough to entice you to go to bed and further your genetic desecration of the genetic code of originality that God has prepared for those who love and serve Him. Remember, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to prove my point to you here just in a moment. In the book of Jonah, I want you to go there before I get there. Run over to Jonah, chapter 3, and I'm going to show you the difference between a beast of the field and the cattle and other species of what you would consider to be a beast. I'm going to show you something very strange that the Bible says does say that we have been in the presence of beasts. Those that walk on two legs, those that have hands, those that look very human, they are human. But the Bible describes them as beasts. They have pain and sorrow. I've seen cows that have calves. And when the calves are taken away, both the calf is separated. The calf and the cow mourn over the loss of their loved one. And it's almost like that they're human, but they're not. Remember, I said we share a lot in common with them, and yet there is uniquely a difference between someone that has an eternal spirit and someone that just has a physical presence here with a soul and no spirit to answer in the hereafter. They go back to the earth, and that's as far as they go. Natural, made, brute beast may be handsome. They might have pearly teeth. They might wear a three-piece business suit. They might fly in a Learjet. They might look like, talk like, and are nice people. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, God did not choose you because you were good or nice or all these things that the world looks on. He chose you because he had a covenant plan for a specific people upon the earth, and to them, for them, and about them is what Pastor Buddy is ministering to, and my message is solely to, for, and about that particular covenant people that stands in the presence of the divine authority of the Spirit, which authorizes, and you know, it's just like the Bible says, why should we say to the potter as the clay, why have you made me this way? We think it's very unfair for God to let a blind man come in this world, or a deaf and dumb person, or a waterlogged brain, or a diseased, venereal disease baby born through a illicit affair of a sexual union, the STDs that we have, and all these things that cause genetic malfunctions of the genome. Where are we going to stop and think about the consequences of causing the bloods of our blood to another who is not, we are not authorized to do so? Ladies and gentlemen, it is wreaked havoc in Genesis 6. It is wreaking havoc again as it was in the days of Noah. It is wreaking havoc again in the earth until the Bible said again that the species of Noah, the offspring of Noah, those chosen children of perfect genetics, will become so endangered that they won't be any of that particular blood left upon earth unless, again, divine intervention is imposed upon our illicit crossbreeding brought on by none other than Satan, the beast that was back in the garden that laid with Eve and brought his genetic realm into the blood or the chromosomes of the X chromosomes. Remember, Satan had a Y chromosome and an X. But he did not have that other X. It takes a double X and a Y to create a human being. And that's exactly what Satan convinced Eve, that he could create a little god that would look like him and her. And man, she was amazed, because Satan was a very good-looking punk walking in a garden. Yahweh was comely, wasn't good to look at. He was the tree of life, and so she and he wasn't pushy. You see, Yahweh was waiting for the fruits of the evil of Satan. The Bible said he was perfect until iniquity was found in him, and so then by their fruits you shall know them. And Satan brought forth an illicit fruit of Cain, who was a murderer. Ladies and gentlemen, when I say that with all of the fear and sorrow that I can muster up in my spirit, that has brought down the house of Yahweh to the ground. It is in total disrepair, as many are there that go there unto their death and destruction with the beast of the field, who has caused my people to sin and err and fall from the truth. All right, we're in Jonah chapter 3, and I'm going to go to verse 6. Now, this is Jonah. Remember, he was from a little town right at the corner of Nazareth in Galilee. Jonah. Repeat that. This is symbolic now of the Savior coming, just like our Savior came from Nazareth 2,000 years ago. Here's Jonah, around 540. Remember, Israel had done vacated in 721 B.C., so they're over in the land of Assyria, captive. And Jonah, a prophet that was referred to by Christ and identified, it's a little minor book in the Bible, you'll find it very obscurely, over in the minor prophets. It should be back in its proper sequence. It should actually be after the book of 2 Kings or 2 Chronicles. It should be right there. But of course, they have taken it out, didn't want you to see exactly why this information in Genesis chapter 3, beginning at verse 6, for this Galilean from the town of Nazareth went over and preached the gospel to the wayward Israelites who were cast out of the land for the abominations of mixing and mingling and breaking the covenant Sabbath and destroying the laws of the theocratical union of Yahweh. Yahweh, in his rage and jealousy, divorced and sent Israel packing from the land, never, according to 1 Samuel 7:21, to return to that sandbox where we're being deceived by the braying jackasses that are preaching every Sunday in the bell boxes that God's people are going back to the Holy Land. My, how dumb can we get? Well, that's another message, and I won't get into that because that really flames the passions of my heart. Also, let me go here and read verse 6 of Jonah chapter 3. And a word came. Ladies and gentlemen, if a word don't come through a prophet, a teacher qualified and sent, purpose with a passion in his heart, like Jonah, many fought this like I did. I fought this calling. I resisted this calling. But the Father anointed Jonah to go preach. And after the fish spit him out, after his disobedience, you see, you can't run from the Father, and you can't hide, certainly. And the Bible said, I'll send hunters and fishermen, and this message is tonight exclusively for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As Jonah prophesied, the word came unto the king of Nineveh that Jonah was through the land preaching 3 days' journey. It's all symbolic of the 3 days. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him. Now remember, this is an Assyrian. This is the same people that birthed Abraham into existence. And he laid his robe. He covered himself with sackcloth. Man, isn't that an humble response? More, our kings wouldn't do that today, would they? I doubt it. And sat in the ashes, showing that he was humbled. And he caused, listen here, here's the kicker. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, specifically separating the two, herd or flock, separating the two, taste anything, and let them not feed nor drink water. As if it's possible to withhold the seed from the cattle, from the flocks, and the beast and man. That's all possible. But notice the difference in verse 8. And let man and beast be covered. Not cattle. Not flock. They didn't cover the chickens and the cattle and the donkeys and the elephants and the things that they had and the peacocks and all those things. They didn't cover them. But they covered man and beast. Now this Israelite man was there, and the Bible says they covered them with the sackcloth and ashes, and also the beast covered himself. And they cried mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way. Can a beast turn from his evil way? Is he not to be led by man who was to be over the beast of the field? Wasn't Adam and his offspring to rule the earth and to be a blessing? And from the violence that is in their hands, you mean beasts have hands? 2 feet and hands, and are able to discern, able to cover themselves with sackcloth? Oh, they will. When the world gets scared, you watch everybody in the world, be they Christian or non-Christian, you watch them humble themselves and cry. But notice here, the difference is, strikingly, we could go other places, but we'll pause right there for this purpose, that's another message, and I won't get any farther, any deeper into this revelation. Some of these things that I teach on are taught at our festivals and our special meetings that I hold around the country for the purpose of teaching our people the truth that will make you free. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're back to the garden, back to the place where the serpent has, in Genesis 3:15, had a curse. Now, the serpent is not a snake. He is not a fanged. He wasn't hanging in a tree, as we have pictures to depict Satan hanging up in an apple tree and somehow talking to Eve and saying, come on, go ahead and get that apple. It's good. Your eyes will open up and you'll realize that you are a God yourself. You are beautiful. Come on, go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, this serpent is descriptive knowledge, if you will, of who this angel was. Remember I said he was second command. He walked among the stones, stones representing those who have been created specifically. You say, well, an angel can't have babies, Pastor Buddy. Well, then that leaves Yahweh out. If Yahweh was not able to impregnate Mary, I wonder exactly what the problem was. With our understanding void, would we, for any reason, believe that Yahweh could not have impregnated Eve? Was it meant that Yahweh was to have children with Eve in the spiritual fifth dimension, and then the pattern would be created for spirit, and then in her womb, when she conceived outside by nature or by the natural process in the third dimension, she could bring forth that child in a spiritual tree of good rather than bad. But Satan, knowing this, he changed the whole genetic nature of the tree, and he polluted the womb of Eve by laying with her in the garden and bringing forth this illicit, God-forbidden, and God-forsaken offspring that I have now identified as the beasts that roam the earth, which are many, with the few of Adam that have now survived with their perfect genetic blood, to become the chosen vessels, while the vessels of the beast are fit or made for destruction. I'm going to repeat this again. This is hard. Did you know that the Bible says, you know, ladies and gentlemen, isn't it a joke to believe that the majority of the world can have the truth? When the Bible said, straight is a way, and narrow is a gate, and a few there be that find it. What way are we talking about? The clean way. The genetic perfected way of those who have kept themselves unspotted from the world, that does not have the blood of two or three genetic species in their veins, which the Bible says. You say, well, now, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. Now, I made a mention here that a cow or a bull or a donkey cannot impregnate a woman. And it is impossible, certainly, for a man to impregnate a sheep or a goat or a donkey or an elephant species or any other animal species that we know of, yet there is one species called the beast that can impregnate a woman. And it is also possible for man to impregnate a female beast. It's possible. So then, these bloods or genetics are compatible, that they will receive each other and accept each other, yet they mingle the genetics of the two bloods when they come together. They clash, and it causes confusion. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're so deep and so far on out of line with my thinking, that glory to God, I'm just scared to death of your teaching. It just scares the living tar out of me. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know the Bible said that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God? Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible is written for those who are on meat, not milk? Do you know the Bible says that he that is on milk is unskillful in the word of Yahweh? Isn't it time that you growed up? Isn't it time that you put on the whole armor? Isn't it time that you got into advanced teaching? How long have you sat in the bell boxes with your head between your legs, or you've hung your brain on the four-year hat rack? Most people park their brain when they go to church, and they're just like a bunch of birds, silly birds, laying in the field with their nest, with their mouth open, swallowing anything that the preacher or tradition will afford them. You see, a lie practiced often enough becomes the truth. And you tell me that the majority of the world's going to have the truth in some cases? Ladies and gentlemen, isn't that astounding? If it's biblical related, the world can't see this. The beast of the field can't see this. They can't comprehend it because it's confusion to them. And when they mix and mingle with Adam kind, I'm talking about the eighth-day man that has to mingle with these other species or other races out there, it causes confusion. Now, let me give you the Bible for that. Let's go to the 18th chapter of the book of Leviticus. I'm not going to have time to get in this. I doubt it. But let me just give you quickly a scripture here. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Well, our president don't think so. I mean, they court the gay community. Isn't that what gays do? Doesn't gay men lay with gay men? Or any man that they can lay with? And if that their favorite attraction is a male, to a male, and is it true that lesbianism is attraction female to female? Don't you know the Bible speaks of that? Don't you know the world has gone over to these things? But you know it's an abomination? Oh, it looks good. Oh, it does? But to who? What excites my flesh? I like to see it carrying on. Glory to God. Shunda. Ladies and gentlemen, verse 23. We'll conclude my message tonight of the beast of the field. Verse 23. Remember I said it's impossible for a horse to get a woman pregnant. And I know this is rude speech. I know it's very plain. but plain thought's easy understood, so if you have any problem with understanding this, write me. Neither shall thy lie with any beast to defile yourself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereunto. It is confusion. What is the confusion? I just told you it's a clash of the genetic. If a woman, an Adam-kind woman, lays with anything outside the creation of Adam, it's mixing the blood and it's compatible. The blood of Adam is compatible to the chromosomes that are here, the 46, that it takes to create a human. It brings confusion. In other words, let me give you an example. Let's say a black man and a white woman brings forth the children. Now, the children are confused. They don't know whether they're black or white. They have a genetic warfare or a struggle in their, well, you say it's getting more socially acceptable, and you're racist if you don't believe it's permissible, because my church pastor said it's okay. You see how far we've got along with denying the truth. You see why it's so dangerous to preach the truth. You see how we have been painted as the evil ones to preach the truth, and those that preach a lie are painted as the good ones, but they will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. They will cast the truth to the ground and prosper, eat, drink, and be merry, and mingle. Don't you know that's what they were doing in the days of Noah, when they were mixing and mingling, not only with earthlings to earthlings, and races to races, and different diverse times to diverse times, in confusion, but also the angels were enjoying the adventures of coming down and mating. Now, in part three, you don't want to miss this. You want to stay tuned to part three of our exciting series on the serpent seed. We're going to go into the warfare over this very issue. It was a war fought in the heavens, and I can describe for you in the heavens. We're now on Mars. Mars looks like an abandoned planet. Abandoned? They're going to prove, but they already know, that somewhere in the past that Mars was inhabited by our ancestors, and they're going to prove to be genetically compatible with us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not alone. We've never been alone. We never will be alone. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses called the Watchers. Now, these watchers that are in charge refrained those watchers that came down and crossed the barriers and genetically mixed, mingled the angelic seed, which is a little bit, splitting hairs here in genetics, above man, but they were compatible to the female that they could relate and have children or offspring by them, and then that started a great strange flesh. You ever heard about strange flesh in the Bible? Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back as it was in the days of Noah, the return of the watchers. Now, you don't want to miss when I teach about the return of the watchers in the final series. After we conclude the serpent series, I'm going to take you into the genetic warfare that went on before the flood, and show you the climax in Genesis 6 and what ensued between the beginning of Genesis 1 and Genesis 6, and take you back before the world was, and explain to you there's nothing new under the sun, for what is to be has already been. That's why that Christ could proclaim in Matthew chapter 24 and other places, and other prophets cried out against the sins that we're committing, that were committed in the first world at first. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a warfare of genetic survival. I can't emphasize this much. Too much. And I love you. And I pray that you comprehend my message tonight. This is Pastor Buddy. If you listen to the Shepherd's Call, I've got to get out of here. My mailing address is a post office box, 2284 New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, remember that. It's very important. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. my telephone number if you'd like to call me tonight. I'm live. This is the 25th day of January, and the time is 8:57 Eastern Standard Time. So we're live here on WWCR around the world. I need to hear from you, and we expect you to call. That's area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. Now, write or call. Send us a love offering to keep us on the radio. We need your help. If you're in with us in this war, remember, $10 is a lot. $100 will do. Thank the Father for those that send more. But we appreciate what you do, Sam. Get in a war with us, and let's fight the divided faith. Now, if you'd like to contact my sponsor, Dr. Gary, tonight, 1-877-289-7439. That's Dr. Gary. My good friend, Dr. Jack, 1-888-281-7320. These are brothers that pick up their tab if our tithes and offerings don't come in. So we need your help. We're behind. Because we need more radio time. We've now been called up miraculously by the love of a brother that sent us a very, very good offering to help us on the radio time. We appreciate that. We'll appreciate anything you can send. I love you very much, the House of Israel. If this truth means anything and you've heard it for the first time on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy, write me. I need to hear from you. Post office box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, or area code 423-626-2172. This is Pastor Buddy. Until I come back next Sunday night with part three, you don't want to miss it. We're going into the war that was started over an illicit relationship in Genesis 3:15. And ladies and gentlemen, truthfully and honestly and fearfully, it still goes on. May Yahweh bless you. Until then, that's your buddy in the Shepherd's Call saying, we'll see you next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, worldwide, WWCR, the mighty voice of the Shepherd's Call.